15 minutes to Mr. McCain. You can start now, inshallah, just after I leave the mic. Go ahead. Using the Bible, your whole Bible, to prove that Jesus is a God. Go ahead, Mr. McCain.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity, and I'm very grateful for your hospitality in this room. You really are very considerate as you have invited us to come and share from the Word of God. And I really count it a pleasure to be able to read to you from the Bible and to show from the Bible that Jesus is indeed eternal God. But before I get into that, I'd like to read a couple of verses from Exodus, and in Exodus 20, where we find the Ten Commandments. It says in verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God." And we read something similar in Exodus 34, and in verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now it's in the light of these scriptures that we discuss this topic: is Jesus God? And we know from the Bible that God is jealous of all glory, all honor, and all praise that is rightfully His. It must be given to Him. There can be none other who can receive the worship of the creatures that He has created other than God Himself. God will not permit it. He would not stand for it. He will not allow it. Time and again we read in the Bible of people who have worshipped and served other gods and were destroyed for their idolatry. God is very serious when He tells us He is jealous. He is the one God that Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 speaks of. Know this, O Israel, that the Lord thy God is one Lord. And so God is one, and he will not share His glory with another. And that's why idols are such an abomination to God, and those that worship Him are under His wrath and under His judgment, because He is a jealous God. Well then, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Christians say that Jesus is God. Well, where do we get this from? Don't we read in the Bible that God says He alone is God? Well, yes, but we believe that Jesus is eternal God in the flesh, and so He alone is to be worshipped. And I'd like to speak this afternoon, or this evening, if you're in the Middle East somewhere. I would like to speak on 4 points. I would like to address 4 characteristics of God that belong to God and none other. No one else can possess these particular characteristics. You must be God Himself if you do possess these things. And I'd like to show also that Jesus does possess these characteristics, proving that He is God. Now, the first characteristic of God, which I think we're familiar with, is that God is eternal. He is an eternal being. We read in Isaiah 57:15 that God inhabits eternity. He dwells in the whole spectrum of existence, from eternity past until eternity future. And the fact about this, that we have no way of really comprehending with our finite minds is that God has no beginning, nor has he an ending. So if we look back into eternity past, we just continue to travel in our mind's eye, and we never come to the point where we can say, here, God began. No, God has no beginning. He's always been. He is the great I Am. He is the ever-existent one who has always existed even when there were no other. God alone is the first and the last. We read in Psalm 90, in verse 2, these words, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is a characteristic of the Almighty. This is a characteristic of the everlasting God. In order to qualify as God, you must be from eternity. You must have no beginning. Now, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? What does the Bible say about him? Well, we read in Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a very familiar verse that we hear often around Christmas time. It says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and that would be referring to the birth of the Lord Jesus. Unto us a son is given, that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus, this Son, is called the Everlasting Father. Now that gets into the whole idea of the Trinity, which we're not addressing directly today. We're addressing the topic, is Jesus God? Well, this verse says that he is the Mighty God, he is the Everlasting Father, so he qualifies in that sense that he is from everlasting. But also in Micah, in the book of Micah, in chapter 5, there is another scripture that is brought up around Christmas time each year. In verse 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, Bethlehem is the city where Jesus was born. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it tells us that. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. From everlasting. Jesus is referred to in this messianic, that means pointing to the Messiah, verse in the Old Testament, and it is said that he will be a ruler whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And that's because Jesus is God. He is the Son that is given. He is God in the flesh. He is God who has entered into the human race to accomplish the will of his Father. And he is God who has always been. There's never been a point in time where Jesus has not been. It's true that he entered into the human race at a particular point in time, but
before that, we read in John 1,
verse 1, in the beginning, well, let me quickly turn there, and we'll see this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the beginning is a reference to time without end. Ever since God has been God, the Word was with him, and that Word was God. In verse 14 of John 1, it says, the Word became flesh. flesh and dwelt among us. And that's a clear reference to Jesus, who took upon him a human nature and became a man. And so the question is, is Jesus God? And I'd like to prove this by showing these four characteristics of God. And the first characteristic, God must be eternal. Jesus, as we read these scriptures, is said to be from everlasting. He is eternal. He is the Almighty God. Now, further, in Hebrews, in chapter 7, in the first couple of verses of that chapter, we read about a mysterious figure. His name is Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a character that enters the stage in the Old Testament in the days of Abraham. He just suddenly appears, and Abraham offers tithes to this Melchizedek, who is a king and a priest. And then in the Psalms, we have a reference to him. In Psalm 110, verse 4, it says, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Now, Melchizedek was not an actual man. He was God making an appearance as man. That is, theologians call this a theophany, where God would make appearance, and God did this from time to time in the Old Testament. He appeared to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host. He appeared to Abraham as three angels, and Abraham recognized this by calling him Lord. And God appeared as Melchizedek, who received tithes through Abraham. And this Melchizedek, though, is really a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's see what it says here in Hebrews 7. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Now this is a description of Melchizedek. Let's listen closely in verse 3. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Man, abideth a priest continually." See, this Melchizedek is God making an appearance, pointing to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the description of him indicates he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. In other words, he is from everlasting to everlasting. And this is connected to, tied to, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the everlasting God. He is this God who has always been. Now, I don't know how God could do this, how the Lord Jesus Christ could so humble himself, how he, being this all-powerful being who possesses all knowledge and all might, who has all the riches and glory of heaven, how he dwells with the Father in the high and holy place, which no man has seen, how the Lord Jesus Christ could so humble himself and come to earth and enter into the human race through the Virgin Mary, born of the Holy Ghost, and become a man like unto us, so he could then take the sins of his people upon himself and pay the penalty for those sins, which is an eternal damnation. I don't know why God would do that. I don't know why God would be so merciful and gracious and be so considerate and kind to such a people as us. We're nothing but dirty, rotten sinners. We're filthy altogether. greatly made us an abhorring unto God and an abomination in His sight. And yet for His people that He has determined to save, God has greatly lowered Himself and humbled Himself and taken upon Him a human nature and become flesh. This is the wonderful teaching of the Bible. This is the wonderful teaching regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not a God far away, but He is a God who in all points was tempted like unto us. He is a God who knows the infirmities of our flesh. He understands our every weakness. He has walked in our shoes, so to speak, and thereby He is qualified to die for the sins of men and to pay the penalty that only God could pay. No man, no angel, no high created being of any sort could pay the penalty.
طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Sorry for the doubt, Mr. McCain, but your time is up. Your first 15 minutes is up. I'm gonna remove the doubt. Shatino, okay. That is removed. Please, okay. I'm sorry again, but please keep looking on the text. The brothers were writing to you. Time is up. Time is over. So for the next time, please be aware of this. يا أخوان أنا ما راح أقبل أي DM. It's okay, Mr. Mackin. No problem at all. يا أخوان أنا لا أدري مين نقط الضيف النصراني. فأرجو من الأخوان الأدمينية أن لا ينقطه. أنا شايف أنه أخذ وقته الزيادة، لكن أنا تركته حتى ينهي كلامه فقط ثم أنقطه. فأرجوكم يا أخوان الأخوة الأدمينية بارك الله فيكم، لا أحد ينقط أي من المتناظرين. بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خير. ماشي يا أخوة إن شاء الله، جزاكم الله خير. طيب this was the first 15 minutes for our guest Mr. McCain, and now the first 15 minutes also for our brother Wissam. أخي Wissam, if you can hear me, go ahead, the mic is yours.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، by the name of Allah the Most Merciful, the Most Gracious. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and Jesus Christ also is the messenger and a slave of Allah. The topic tonight is Jesus is God, the divinity of Jesus Christ. I was waiting 15 minutes to hear from the preacher just put one verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus declared, I am God, I am your Lord, I am your Creator. I did not hear any verse till now from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared His divinity. Jesus said, I am your God, I am your Lord, I am your Creator. See, when we discuss this, I would like to divide this issue in 5 points. First point, I would like clear statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am God, I am your Lord, I am your Creator. I would like first, you answer this. Where in the Bible, where in the Gospel, that Jesus said, I am your Lord, I am your God, I am your Creator. The second point, I would like you to get me a verse. You're talking about that Jesus Christ is God manifested in flesh. I would like you to give me a verse from the Bible that Jesus Christ said, I am God manifested in flesh. I am God and a man at the same time. I am perfect God and perfect man. Sometimes I'm God, sometimes I'm a man. I would like to hear this from the Jesus Christ. Actually, this is not biblical teaching. Also, the divinity of Jesus Christ is not biblical teaching or the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's not there. Jesus never said, I'm God. Jesus never said, I am God manifested in flesh. Third, if Jesus never said, I'm God, if Jesus never said, I am God manifested in flesh, I would like to ask you a question. Why you take Jesus as your Lord? Why are you worshiping Jesus? Why? Because Jesus said, I'm Son of God, and this is the third point. Is He God, or equal to God, because He said, I'm Son of God? Fourth, is He God, because He did miracles on earth? That's why you take Him as your Lord and your Savior? Fifth point, I would like to hear from you some statements from the gospel. From this statement, you think Jesus is God. So we have to divide this issue to 5 points. First, where exactly in the gospel Jesus said, I am your Lord, I am your Creator. Where in the gospel? It's not there. It's not biblical teaching, it's not the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about the second issue, or the second point, about that Jesus is God manifested in flesh. It's not biblical teaching, it's not even the teaching of Jesus Christ. When the Bible Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh. I am God and I manage the same thing. I would like to hear it from you. I would like to hear it from you. Actually, Jesus refused this. Jesus refused that God Almighty can be a flesh, can be a man. Jesus answered, well, I would like you to follow with me. In the book of John, chapter 5, from verse 5:26. See, the Father and the Son, actually, they are separate identity. They are two separate persons. From 5:26, listen to what Jesus said. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. The life of the Son is given from the Father. Jesus is dead without the Father. He gives him his life. They are separated. The Father has his own life, but he gives life to Jesus. Jesus without the Father is dead. And has given him authority to execute judgment with authority from God the Father, because he is the Son of Man. God gave him the authority. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all the ungrateful shall hear his voice. Listen to this. The light today, the day of judgment, and shall come forth. They have come, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. If you did good in your life in earth, you go on to have eternal life. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. If you did bad, if you have bad deeds, you go on to hellfire. Has nothing to do with crucifixion. There is no crucifixion. According to what you did in your life in earth, has nothing to do with crucifixion. Now, I can of my own self do nothing. Absolutely nothing. What kind of God is? What kind of God is? I can of my own self do nothing. I cannot do nothing of my own self. What kind of God is? And Jesus Christ by himself, he said about the Father, about the God, everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with him. God is capable to do everything. But he's talking about himself. I can of my own self do nothing, absolutely nothing. As I am a judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my will, not my will, but the will of the Father, the which he sent me, is not his will. These two wills, the will of the Son and the will of the Father. The will of the Son is subdued to the will of the Father. But I'm not, if you want, but not. If you tell me the earth will equal, I would like you to give me words from the Bible that the will of the Father submit to the will of the Son. That the Father pray to the Son. Look, that the Father lives greater than the Son. But you find out in the Bible all the time, the Son, he's, like Jesus said, the Father is greater than me, John 14:28. The Father is greater than all, John 10:29. You will never find the verse in our opposite way, that the Father is less than the Son. Now, this is the key word here in the paragraph, John 5:31. Listen to this. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. My witness is not true. Listen to this. Pay attention. Listen. If the Father is the Son, then his witness is not true. Because Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another, it's not the same person, another person, that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which the witness of me is true. I know that, you know who is the other witness? It's not Jesus. It's somebody else. It's somebody else, not Jesus. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive no testimony from a man. Listen to that. Pay attention. I receive no testimony from a man. The other witness is not a man. He is not human. He is not a man. He is not human. But I receive no testimony from a man. I would like now to know who is the other witness and which is not a man, which is not human. Now look here in John 5:37 says, and the Father himself, which I send thee, has borne witness of me. The Father, God, he is not human, he is not man. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Nobody can see the God. Nobody can see him. Nobody. So Jesus declared that God Almighty is not a man. God is not human. This theory about God is manifested in flesh is hoax. Hoax. Read in the Bible. This is not teaching Jesus Christ. This is not biblical teaching. Jesus himself is not. So God Almighty is not human. And it is not testimony from a man. And he said, he is the Father. And the Father, everybody knows, he is God. Now, this theory about God Almighty who is manifested in flesh is refuted from the Bible too. Look now. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 2, Ezekiel 28, 2, says the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God. In the mouth of the seat, yet you are a man. A man, not God. God is not a man. God cannot be a man. God is not flesh. Ezekiel 28:9, it says, will you say before him that killed you, I am God, but you are a man, not God. God is not a man. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. I will not execute the violence of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God, not a man. God is not a man. Numbers 19:23. God is not a man. 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 What Jesus said about himself? Jesus said, I am a man telling you the truth which I heard it from God. I'm not God. I'm a human, a man telling you the truth which I heard it from God. Peter said in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 22, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God. Among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. He's not God. He's just a man. And the miracle by God Almighty. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 4:24. John 4:24. He said, God is a spirit. And Jesus said, listen to this carefully. God is a spirit. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, Jesus said, listen to this carefully, very carefully. Chapter 24:36. And as they thus speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Listen to this, pay attention. And he said unto them, Jesus Christ, why you are troubled? Why do such arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. Now listen to this. For a spirit
not flesh and bones as you see me have. As spirit has no flesh and bones as you see me have. Jesus said God is a spirit, and Jesus said the spirit has no flesh and bones as you see me have. Then the theory about God is manifested in flesh is hoax. Because God Almighty is a spirit, and a spirit has no flesh and bones. It's very clear. Very clear. Very clear. Now, you said the first point about the divinity of Jesus Christ, that God is eternal. Yes, I agree with you. God is eternal. But Jesus is not eternal. Jesus, he has beginning and he has end. His beginning in the Matthew, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7, and his end, as you believe on the cross. Again, God Almighty has no beginning, no end. God is eternal. God is everlasting God. Yes, Jesus has beginning. And the manger, the book of Luke 2:7, has end on the cross. He's not God. Now we're talking about Melchizedek. Melchizedek has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Read carefully on the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 3. It says, without father, Jesus has no father, yes. Without mother, Jesus has mother. His mother Mary is not Jesus. Without descent, Jesus has descent. Read the book of Luke. Read the book of Matthew. How did he know the beginning of days? Jesus at the beginning of days. He born in the mansion. Luke chapter 27. No end of life. Jesus is end of life. Jesus died on the cross, as you believe. But made like unto Son of God. He's not a Son of God, but made like unto him. It's very clear now. Now, I give you back the mic. Where Jesus said, I am God. Very clear statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Second, where Jesus said, I am God manifested in flesh. I want to hear it from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Because this theory about God in flesh is hoax. Third, is Jesus God because he said, I am the Son of God? Is Jesus God because he did miracles? Last, I would like to hear some statements from the Bible. You think Jesus God because he said this statement. The mic is yours, Admiral.